All right, guys, welcome to the show. This is Deborah Gets Red Pilled. We are back in a big way after a long summer hiatus.
We are back.
Deborah, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing just fine. We've had a summer. The weather's been okay, and there aren't many fires in our area, so I can't complain.
Yeah,
that's how about
good.
You?
Well, I want to thank you for being here and working around my schedule. We were scheduled to go the other night, but some stuff came up, so we're here now. And I have enjoyed my summer off immensely. It's been very, very nice to just be able to work out here, not have to worry about scheduling people or coming in early from the pastures and all my work and doing everything to record a show that I'm not really looking forward to. So, but I'm happy to be back doing it. And I think my mental health increased immensely from not having to look at the news and I'll worry about a bunch of conspiracy stuff for what, probably a good three months, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say, I feel the same, not being feeling compelled to look at the news because it's all garbage anyway.
Yeah. We tried to do that thing. We're doing doing the headline show for a while. And I don't know if that's the best thing to do. What I've been really getting into is a lot of parapolitics recently, stuff that we know happened, and then just looking at that stuff, real historical events and drawing parallels and doing stuff like that. So hopefully we can do some more of that for the show, because that's what's really interesting to me right now. But I guess for now we can just kind of catch up on what we did during our time off. And mm-hmm. Oh, before we get going, everybody, our good friend Jack Allen, his wife is pregnant. Her water broke super early, so they're going through a little bit of trouble with that, but I think everything's all good. But if you are the praying kind of people, pray for Jack and his wife, Liv, and their unborn baby. So we've got him scheduled to come on the show. I don't know if he'll be able to make it because of the complications, but I think they're doing good, and we'll just keep sending them prayers. So yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah, I guess we'll start out just at the the springtime came, and it was a wet one for us. It's hard. It gets hard here because it goes from being cold and wet to just like super duper wet and a little bit warmer. And all these baby lambs started coming, and I was just overwhelmed,
Yeah.
I was it was really hard. Some of my favorite little sheep died after she gave birth, and that was pretty tough for me. And another sheep broke her leg, and that was just that was 100% my fault, and I felt so terrible about it. And that's the one thing that kind of broke me mentally. I snapped. It was hard out here. A lot of days, I'd work all day, and then, you're constantly trying to move forward, but eventually, you get done with the day, and what you were working on all day didn't work. So you'd actually taken steps back, and that one night, I was trying to catch we were taking care of one of our neighbor's sheep, and she had just given birth. We were trying to get her into the barn. And when I was trying to catch her, I fell on her leg, and it broke it. And I lost it. I snapped. It's,
It's so not your fault.
Well, I know it's
in the dark.
It's an accident. I understand that now, but at the time it was the straw that broke Adam's back. Like, it was the one thing, and I just lost it. And I don't be sorry. I'm over it now, and we made peace with our neighbors. It was tough. Probably about a month ago, we kept her going with a broken leg, just so she could nurse her little lambs. And we got her to the point where they could be weaned, and we asked our neighbors what they wanted to do about it, and they said, you know, put her down. And I did, and it sucked. And I've had to do that a few times this summer, and you know, it's hard every time. I still think about it, and I pray for them all the time. But yeah, that's just kind of, that was the thing. And I, at that point, I was just like, there's too much stuff to do around here. I'm not feeling this. I was pretty disillusioned with the alternative media and the conspiracy community. And I realized it wasn't a positive thing for me to be looking into at the time. So yeah, that was everything that was behind my decision to stop.
Big deals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those were all big deals, and I was ready for a break. So
yeah. We started the Patreon. I don't think that was a very good idea. You know, we were doing exclusive content on there. We only had about 20 people following. So I was, you know, I'd rather just go back to having a value for value show. If anybody wants to contribute to the show in the old traditional way of, you know, just sending us tips or whatever. I prefer that, but being on the hook with Patreon too, and feeling like, oh, you really have to crank stuff out because there's people that you promised content to, you know, so that are paying for it. So that was, you know, maybe sometime in the future, if we really get going again and can do it more, or come up with a better plan. But for now, value for value will be the way to go. And you know, I mean, we don't need any value from anybody right now. We'd rather you know, people just keep listening. I hope people didn't end their subscription to the show, but if they did, hopefully we can earn everybody back, and people will start just recommending us to other people and helping us get some good guests on, and recommendations for everything. And hopefully people will be on board with if we take the show a different way and just start doing parapolitics and talking about, you know, old cults and government operations and things like that. So but yeah, I know I'm extra hard on myself when it comes to doing the show also. And sometimes I think the show went really, really badly. And, you know, people message me and say, oh, that was a good show. And then every once in a while, people will be honest with me and give me a real hard critique, or people are just kind of unkind about how they, you know, sending me messages about the show. And that's one out of every 100 I get. And I take that one a little bit too seriously. So
yeah,
I'll do better with that and just try to have fun with the show and talk to people and read and do my own research. And that's what was really nice about taking the time off, was being able to read some books on my own and you know, have time to do all that and just get into stuff that I wanted to do, instead of, you know, this ever revolving wheel of guests that the same conspiracy shows have on over and over and over again. Uh-huh. So
yeah.
How was your summer?
Did you read some? My summer, but I wanted to ask, did you read any books for entertainment, for pleasure?
Yeah. You're breaking up and doing the robot a little, but I did get to read. I mean, you know what I am into reading anyways.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Deborah.
Oh, okay.
You got me? Sorry, guys, the internet is unstable here, so we'll try to get through this. But yeah, I did get to do some reading on my own. You know, as much as I love Dave McGowan's take on everything, you know, I've read you know, the Laurel Canyon book, and then we went through and did Programmed to Kill, and you know, those books are so dense and so many names, they're kind of a slog to get through. And Programmed to Kill is a thick book. I think it's 350 pages, and it's small print and big pages. So it was a tough one to get through. But so by the time I was done with that one, I mean, it's a seminal book, and everyone should read it and get into it. But after that was done, I was really excited to get into some stuff. I read a book called The Silent Brotherhood about kind of what all the crazy stuff that was going on in northern Idaho in the 80s and early 90s leading up to Ruby Ridge and Waco and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's about this guy, Bob Matthews,
yeah.
who started
uh-huh.
a, you know, he came from the Christian Identity movement, which was like, it's, you know, it's, it was the church that the Aryan Nations was based around. And he splintered off and started, you know, a homegrown terrorist cell, and started robbing Brinks trucks and funding a whole movement. So it's a really good book. It's not like a conspiracy book at all. It's to the point, facts.
What's the guy's name?
The guy's name was Bob Matthews. And his terrorist cell was called the Silent Brotherhood. Yeah. The Bruderschweigen in German is what they called it. And that was a big book too, but I got through that one fast. I read it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else did I get to read? I found a series of old books that I'd been looking for a long time. They're the books that I was really into when I was, you know, a little kid, like fifth, sixth grade. I found all those and went and I got all those.
Uh-huh.
Hold on, let me show you which ones those are.
Yeah.
There are all these books by this this author, John Bellairs, and they revolve around this teenage boy named Johnny Dixon, and his neighbor is this old crotchety professor guy, and they get into all sorts of crazy adventures with like magic and Templars and mummies and like old statues that are cursed and things like that.
You read this when you were a kid?
Yeah, I read them all when I was a kid. See, I got them all here.
Well, no wonder you're so into.
And
uh-huh.
I found them all for cheap on Goodreads, and I was looking for, I couldn't remember any of the titles, and I was like looking forever and ever, and I like kept typing in like stuff into the internet trying to figure out what they were, and finally some of them popped up. The Curse of the Blue Figurine is the original one, so I read that one. And then my little nephew, my sister's son, he just turned 11, but he came up for 3 days at the start of the summer and stayed with us, so I gave it to him, the first book in the series I gave to him when he left. And he just turned 11 the other day, so I got to send him a present. So I think I'll probably send him the second one. But they made a movie out of one of these books with Jack Black in it called The House with the Clock in the Walls, I think is what it was called. They made it in like 2017, and it's one of these books.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So I read that. Right now I'm reading this book, The Wanderers by Richard Price. And if anybody's seen, it was a movie in the early 80s. They made a movie out of this book. It's a fantastic movie. One of my favorite movies. It kind of revolves around this gang, this like greaser gang called the Wanderers in the Bronx in the 60s. And yeah, it's really good. The book's mm-hmm. much darker than the film. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It's got all sorts of like gang fights with other gangs. There's gang the Ducky Boys, one of the old bands that I like from Boston, were called the Ducky Boys after them. So if you're a fan of like the Warriors or any of those movies, check out The Wanderers. And this guy,
uh-huh.
Richard Price, who wrote it, he's written a ton of novels up until present day. There's an old I think it was a Spike Lee movie made out of one called Clockers, which was a famous movie in the early 90s about like gang, like drug trade in New York City. So they're all kind of like gritty
Oh, wow.
crime books from New York. A lot of them are, he has some that are about like pickup artists and just like the grittiness of New York City in the 70s, 80s, 90s. So, but yeah, I'm reading that one right now. And yeah, couple other books I got through. I just got Don Jeffries' new book called Masking the Truth. And Don Jeffries will be on the show in a couple weeks. So, yeah, Masking the Truth is a good book. It's heavy though. It's about coronavirus. So, and just like the op that was run on us. Everyone should have it just because it's a it, when all this is said and done, if it ever is, we need things that like in print to document what the ridiculousness that happened was. So yeah. I
And
really
what's the name of that book?
Masking the Truth. It's on Amazon.
Masking the Truth.
It's good.
Okay.
It's a Don Jeffries has a great way. I don't know if you remember the first time we had Don Jeffries on. He's an older guy, civil libertarian, and he does a weekly show with Billy Ray Valentine and Tony Erdburn called America Unplugged. And he's just a consistent voice of reason. He's an old school leftist populist, you know, and he just speaks the truth in a completely coherent and like logical way that's just perfect, makes perfect sense to my brain. I love Don Jeffries. So yeah, he's written books called Hidden History and a bunch of other books like that. So I've also been listening to books on tape. I heard there's a really good book by Douglas Valentine called TDY. It's like a 4-hour listen on Audible, and listen to that. It's incredible. It's about a like secret mission into Laos during Vietnam. It's a fictional book based on, I think, an
Ooh,
extremely true story. So it's pretty good.
yeah.
But what have you been getting into literary wise?
I'm actually looking at my books that I downloaded, because I, you know, once I read them, it's like, oop, where
Yeah.
are you? The Candy House, which is, I don't know that you'd be all that interested in that one. It's, and I can't get to my recent ones. Oh, Demon Copperhead
What's that one about?
by
Sounds
Barbara
interesting.
Kingsolver. It's kind of like David Copperfield, only takes place in current day,
Oh, that's
kinda.
cool.
Like, I mean, it's, yeah. And then I've been reading a bunch of David Sedaris because I just need something to make me smile.
Yeah. I've never read
And
any of
so
his
I've been reading
books,
a
but
lot. Well, you know, I'm a fan. I
yeah,
like him. I'm and
we
I
all
am
went and
gonna see
saw
him
we all went and saw him at
right
together
for
as a
my
family.
birthday.
Yeah, that was fun. Cool.
And I none of these are, gonna be really, oh well, anyhow, right now I'm reading Guest of the Third Reich, and it's a true story about this woman. She was born, she came of age in the 20s, so by the time World War II started, she was probably in her 30s, so maybe born a little after that. Anyhow, she is married, and her husband goes into the service at the start of the war, and
Is
she
she an
decides
American?
she is an American. They're both Americans, and she's a socialite. She comes from big, big, big money, but she never wanted to do the prom queen kind of stuff. So instead, she went big game hunting and went on all these excursions and had this exotic life. So then she and her husband get married. He goes off to serve, and she decides she's going to join the WACs. I think that's what they were called, WAC, Women
Mm-hmm.
anyway, and then she starts serving as a like a clerk for the OSS.
Oh, wow.
And she's transferred to London and then to Paris. And now, you know, they have her wearing a an army uniform. I don't remember why, but she and the people that she's with, three other people, get captured by the Nazis. And she is held prisoner for a number of years. I'm like halfway through it now. And escapes.
It's a nonfiction book.
So, yeah, it's a true story.
Wow.
Her name is Gertrude Sanford was her maiden name. Her married name is Legendre.
Got it. Very interesting.
So, yeah, brave gal.
Yeah. Have you been?
They got caught
is what?
Sorry.
Why did they get caught?
Oh, the reason they got caught is because she was the one who suggested they take a little day trip to the front, because she wanted to see and feel what it was like.
Yeah, just because she was probably removed from the real world, thinking that that was just something that you'd do.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. So consequently, they got caught.
It was just like another safari tour.
Went into, yeah, kind of. Well, anyway.
Have you ever seen those pictures from the Civil War?
So that's what I'm reading now.
Have you ever seen those pictures from the Civil War where they would like go out and have like picnics and watch the battles?
Oh my God, no!
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah. So
that would not be any form of entertainment.
Yeah, I guess it was back then.
So, but my summer's been good. I've been
you've been what?
You hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, my summer's been good. Been getting to travel a little bit with some girlfriends and you know, go on a couple of really nice trips to Sedona, and I'm leaving tomorrow for Tahoe, and came up to your place a couple of times, and or three times even, maybe. Yeah,
yeah, I can't,
and coming
can't
back
even
in
remember.
Another couple of weeks.
Yeah, and big news.
Yeah,
you guys as a family bought a house pretty close, an hour away from us, closer to Portland. In Southern Washington.
Yeah.
And your other daughter moved from Tacoma, which is north of us, a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And now is much, much closer to us, living in that house and taking care of it. So
yeah.
We're really, really excited. Yeah. And, you know, most half the family's here. So we'll see if the rest of the family can get up here sometime soon, you know.
Yeah,
we'd really
well,
love.
Well, you did have a visit from your dad, right?
Yeah, my dad came up and visited for a couple of days. It was really nice. Stayed here with us, and it felt good. It was the first time either of my parents had visited Oregon since we moved here in 2018. So it was nice that he came up and he saw the farm, and I don't think he knew what to expect, and seemed pretty excited for us. So it was good. Got to drive around
Portland.
But he
was really impressed.
Yeah. I hope so. But I know it's a weird deal trying to kind of pin down what everybody thinks. And it's weird. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, whenever people come here to visit, I'm always like, feel like I have to prove or like show like how much work has been done here, when it's just like I should just let people kind of figure it out on their own, instead of like having to justify, like, I know it doesn't look great here, but you should have seen it before I got here, you know. So
I'll testify.
Yeah, you're the only one that's
definitely
seen it,
has
seen it the whole way
many,
through.
Many
so.
Improvements.
Yeah, but yeah. So what we got to go on a couple little vacations. We got to go to we got to go up to Northern Idaho. It was cool when I was reading that book, The Silent Brotherhood, while I was in Northern Idaho, and they were like just like talking about places that I was at, you know. That book's good. Everybody should read it. It's hard to find though. And we went up there to the Modern Homesteading Conference, and it was a 3-day, 2-day conference, with just all sorts of, Joel Salatin was there, all sorts of influential homesteading homesteader influencers, like off of Instagram, people that know what they're doing a little bit better than I know how to do. And it was great. We stayed at a campground that we stayed at the last time we went on a big road trip. And Buffalo and Legs from False Reality Check came and met us there and stayed at the same campground as us, so we got to hang out with them. They came to the homesteading conference, and it was really cool. There was a 2-day, it was two parts, one part each day, hog butchering seminar that I went to. There's all these seminars going on at the same time concurrently at the fairgrounds. You can go pick whichever one you want to go to. I went to the hog butchering one with this guy, Farmstead Meat Smith, if you look that up on Instagram. I forget the guy's name. But it was awesome. Right when we were leaving, we had a bunch of piglets running around our yard. It was it's really hard to keep, you know, piglets fenced in anywhere they don't stay in. And I was just kind of fed up with it, and I was like, I don't know after this batch if we want to do pigs anymore. And then I went to that hog butchering demo, and I was like, oh yeah, we got to do this. This is awesome. So it was cool. I've been to a couple different things of watching people slaughter pigs before, and then watching this guy do it live. It just made it seem doable. I'd watched like a guy, you know, that I'd watched a guy with a mobile butchering truck do it. So like a guy that did it for a living and had all this industrial equipment, and then I was just like didn't really learn anything from it. And then this guy did it in the way that everybody that you would do it on a homestead, and just made it look so so attainable the way that he did it. And I mean, they had a live pig. He went out in the parking lot, shot it in the trailer. They brought it in on a tractor, and he did it, did the whole thing, soup to nuts. First day, and then this guy, he dunks it, dunks the pig in hot water and scrapes the hair off of it, so you don't lose any of the fat. And everybody else that I'd seen do it before, you know, skinned it, so you lose a bunch of fat. But the good part about butchering a pig, the good part about butchering a pig, like especially the little guinea hogs that we have, they're lard pigs, so all that fat is just perfect. So it's just amazing to have. And so yeah, I'm gonna do it that way, and I'm really excited and looking forward to it. So we have, you know, six little piglets right now. We're probably going to do five of them in the fall. So we got our work cut out for us, but yeah, that look up that guy, Farmstead Meat Smith on Instagram, and he has these YouTube videos, the economy of, I forget what they're called, but they're really good. And they show him just doing his thing, and he has a couple little really quick recipes. This guy was like he worked at Whole Foods, and he quit his job and then got a job at like a farm and learned how to butcher at a farm. And you know, has made a whole he used to live up in the Puget Sound, and I think his family, he has like 10 kids. He's a Catholic guy. His family moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. So he does seminars at his place in Oklahoma. So I keep hinting at Emily. They're kind of expensive, but I keep hinting at Emily, if she ever wants to get me like my dream present, it would be to go out and get to do one of those with him. So, but yeah, so that was the highlight for me, and then meeting the False Reality Check guys in real life. But just letting go and being away from the farm for a couple days is really, really hard for us. We had a friend's dad stay at our place, and just we got to the, you know, he was checking in and calling and all this stuff. And then the last afternoon, we were supposed to stay there for one more night, and at the campgrounds, and he had called. We looked at our phones, and Emily had two missed calls, like right back to back from him, and I had two missed calls right back to back from him. No messages. So we're like, oh man, I wonder what Steve needs. So we like started texting him and calling him, and he wasn't picking up, and he wasn't returning texts, and we both like really started to spin out and freak out. And yeah, if anybody that's a older person or a boomer is listening to this, if you call somebody and you don't leave a message, just like, and you, I know you're guilty of this too, Deborah, you leave, just text them, hey, I just called you, everything's okay, just checking in. Because we started freaking out. We called him and we're like leaving messages like, hey Steve, we don't hear from you by 5 o'clock, we're gonna just start driving back. And we didn't hear from him, and we did. And by the time we got to Coeur d'Alene, he called us and was like, don't leave, don't leave, don't leave. And we're like, all right, well, we're on our way anyway. So we drove halfway that night. But yeah, it's just, it's hard being away, and there's so much stuff to worry about. And he was watching the dogs too and stuff. So it's just, it's nice to be away for a little bit, but any more than like 2 days, I want to be back home, which is, I guess that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. That's a really good thing. But you know, you live in your dream.
Yeah. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that it's, perfect all the time, you know.
Right. You need to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. And then the other little trip I got to take, I scheduled a trip to go to the St. Hermans of Alaska Serbian Orthodox Monastery in Northern California. So in July I drove down there. It's kind of by Redding, way up in the top of Northern California, out in the middle of absolutely nowhere, in this little town called Platina. And I went there and stayed with the monks for a couple days in, you know, what could, you know, be described as extremely Spartan conditions. You know, I slept on like a plywood bed, and you barely talk for a couple days. And I was supposed to stay for an extra night there, and I left early too, just because the bed was so bad, and I wasn't getting sleep. And I always thought, you know, well, if it all goes wrong, if something ever happens with the marriage or anything, maybe I'll just go be a monk at the monastery. And this was an extremely positive trip, but it made me realize that monastic life is at this point not something that's in my future. But it was really neat. Mm-hmm. That's where Father Seraphim Rose, he started the place. And he's a famous Orthodox monk who's from San Francisco. He's from Southern California.
Yeah.
And he was like a beat guy, you know, in San Francisco in the 50s and early 60s. And then he became an Orthodox monk. And what a lot of people don't know about him, he was a homosexual. And, you know, dedicated his life to the church, became a monk, and started the monastery up there in Platina, and died there. He started the printing press there. That was like, every monastery has like a little business that they do. So there's a monastery in upstate New York that they've written a book that Emily has before we even knew what Orthodoxy was. And it's about they train German shepherds for people. And
monks of New Skeet.
Yeah.
Did you hear me? The monks of New Skeet?
Yeah. Yeah. They're Orthodox monks. And they have a book. But the Platina Monastery, St. Hermans of Alaska, they had a printing press there. Father Seraphim Rose had a bookstore in San Francisco, and then he kind of transferred everything up there. And they had the original print shop. with like stuff that he printed in there. They have his original little cabin. They call them cells. So you can go in there and it's an incredible. They have his bookshelf in there, all the books that he read. Crazy. Mm. I'm standing there, you know, like in where he lived for years and years and years, and got to look at his personal book collection. Ton of Orthodox books. Then he had like Star Wars, and he had a bunch of books on like New Age spirituality and stuff like that. So he was reading up on you know, what he would have considered to be his enemy at that time. So it was really neat seeing all that stuff. And he's buried there, and he'll be he's not officially a saint right now, but he'll be canonized in the next few years probably in the Orthodox Church. So it's really incredible.
Was this a workshop kind of thing that you attended?
No, you just call them and say, I want to come down for a pilgrimage. Uh-huh. And you get to go and you go to church for 6 hours a day. You eat with everybody in silence. They have a really bland vegan diet. It's just, it's a different kind of life. And
Yeah,
I have nothing but respect for the people that can do that. But it's at this point in my life, it's not for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a beautiful, beautiful little monastery. Just you would never, ever know that it's there. You go to this tiny little town that has a population of 60 people. And then you just drive up this gravel road, this really steep gravel road for a couple miles. And at the top of it, there's this incredible monastery with an Orthodox church in it that has these just these icons that are painted by this famous Russian icon drawer. And yeah, it was wild. So I got to do that.
Could you take any photos?
I didn't take any photos. I should have.
Were you able to take any photos?
I did not take any photos, but I should have, but I just didn't get around to it. But yeah, it was good. But let's see, I got a whole list of stuff. Other than that, I've just been doing church and helping Emily at work one day a week, and we're doing really well down here. So it's all kind of starting to come together. Kind of starting to rain a little bit here. Everything's turning green again. Wasn't too bad and too hot this summer. It was way hotter last summer. Mm-hmm. So it was nice. It might heat up again, but who knows? Yeah, it's just kind of winding down. I'm trying to get as much done as I can. Building new fences and trying to make the land make a little more sense. But the big Great Pyrenees dogs are doing great. They're getting really big and they're smart and they're incredible. So
M said they found some remains the other night.
Oh yeah. We had another one of the really hard, sad parts about having the sheep, you know, when all that stuff was going on. One of our neighbors' sheep that we were watching, the deal was we watched their sheep and we get them pregnant. And they didn't want to take care of them throughout the winter last year. So we kept them, fed them. They didn't have enough hay. So we got them bred. They said we could keep the lambs. And one of them gave birth up at the top of the property line up by the fence. And she gave birth to these two beautiful little guys. And one was really cool. He was white and gray. He was white with gray spots. And it's rare coloring, you know. And went up. She gave birth on a Wednesday night. Thursday morning, everybody was good. I went up there Friday morning, and he was gone. So somebody came and got him. Coyotes came and got him in the middle of the night. And recently, we've had our dogs up kind of by where he disappeared, and they've been coming down with rib cages and femurs, and they had a pelvic bone today. So yeah, that's where they ended up eating him, which is kind of a bummer, but just the way it goes.
But and it's good that, you know, you see that the dogs have good sense of smell, so they'll be able to protect everybody else.
They just want to be with the pigs and with the sheep. They love protecting them. They're such good dogs.
They're
incredible.
So cool.
So if anybody, if you ever have a chance, you got the room for it, you can have a good outside dog, get Great Pyrenees. I can't speak highly enough about them. They're incredible. These guys are
Yeah, man, they're beautiful.
I think these guys are 6 months old, and they just know what to do. So
yeah, amazing.
But yeah, the others, I've been listening to, you know, I listen to podcasts nonstop when I'm out working. And I heard William Ramsey mention a podcast called Program to Chill when he was talking about Dave McGowan one day. So I checked it out, and great podcast. I started listening to it, and I come to find out that the guy's like he's like a commie. And then so I went down this whole rabbit hole of like there's all these like far leftist commie type young people who are doing incredible research on like MK Ultra and parapolitics, and you know, I disagree with them on everything else, but like they're doing way better research than any of the people that are kind of on my side of the political aisle. So I've been listening to a ton of parapolitics from those guys' perspective, and it's real good. This guy that does Program to Chill, Jimmy Fallon Gong, I had him scheduled to come on the show, but he backed out. He said he didn't have enough time to do it, but I think he might have like looked into my social media and found out my political opinions on stuff that he might believe in. But that's just me speculating. Maybe he didn't have enough time, because he's a good researcher. But he did an 11 part series with this woman, Dr. Wendy Painting, and she wrote, hold on, I'll show you which book.
Found it.
Sorry about that, guys. This girl, Dr. Wendy Painting, she wrote this book, Aberration in the Heartland of the Real. You can see that's see that, you know who that is? That's Timothy McVeigh.
Well, it looks like Satan.
Look how thick that book
is. Oh, wow.
She does an 11-part series with on Program to Chill about what's really going on with this guy, and it is absolutely nuts. It is you do not even know half of 1% of the true story
about Tim McVeigh.
About that whole book is about the OKC bombing and Timothy McVeigh and PATCON, which stands for Patriot Conspiracy, which was where like every three-letter agency was infiltrating like these right-wing militia groups, which were big in the 80s and 90s. That's what I always say, like they're replaying the script right now with the white nationalism terrorism. So this is the other book, The Silent Brotherhood. That's the other one that I read, so it's okay, like that thick. But I really want to read this Aberration in the Heartland of the Real, but it's a daunting task to get into. It it's like 600 pages, you know. So, but I recommend everybody goes to Program to Chill and listens to that 11-part series. And what caught my eye when I first started checking out his show was he did like a multi-part series on Thyssen and Krupp. I worked for ThyssenKrupp Elevator when I was still doing elevators.
Oh, okay.
And I always wanted to know, it's a German company, and I always wanted to know about them because I knew there was shady stuff, because they, you know, I think they were German. They financed the Third Reich and all that stuff. And he has like a 7-part series on it. So,
wow.
On their efforts. And it gets crazy too. Like some of these guys were doing Epstein, you know, homosexual pedo islands and stuff in Europe in the pre-1900.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, there was places like that in Italy and like around Sicily and stuff. But yeah, he does a lot of good stuff, and you know, he reviews movies and everything like that. It's just I was talking with Jack Allen about it. It's like these guys are brilliant researchers, and it's just if you know history so well, it's just so weird for me to end up at communism, you know. But there's this whole thing called, you know, called the dirtbag left, and it's kind of like these commie type younger people. There's some really, I mean, you look up these podcasts I never heard of, and when you go to Patreon, you can see how much each person makes, which I don't really think Patreon should do. I don't think they should
I don't
let
think they should
people
either.
should see how much money you're making, but these guys are all making at least like $5,000 a month on Patreon. So I listened to that. There's another podcast called Things Observed that I've been listening to. They did a really good Kinsey episode, and I really want to get that guy on to do a Kinsey episode with us. I don't know if you could sit through that one, Deborah. It is, that guy is horrific.
Dr. Kinsey.
Yeah, I know we've talked it, I think we talked about it a little bit with Sean McCann
You're
before.
frozen.
Okay, am I back?
Wait, okay, tell me, say that again, because you froze and I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I think we've touched on Kinsey a little bit in the past, was when we had like Sean McCann, that one guy that we did like the Eyes Wide Shut stuff with. But I mean, this guy, Alfred Kinsey, the sex guy, the sex doc, who wasn't any kind of, he was a zoologist. And you know, I asked Emily, went to like school for psychology or whatever, and like what every girl does. And I asked her if they had taught her about Kinsey, and she's like, yeah, you know, but they just teach you like, oh, he did studies and, you know, figured out some stuff about sex. But I mean, the real story is absolutely horrific. This guy, I mean, he was a pedophile. He had, it's proven, he had ties to the Nazis, to Nazi pedophiles. He died because he tied a rope around his scrotum and hung it over a pipe and hung himself with it. Off, he jumped off a chair. And this is the guy that they're teaching, you know, the college kids are learning his studies. You know, he was doing studies on orgasms in infants, and the people that he was using to give these infants orgasms were convicted pedophiles.
Good
And
Lord.
what they would call an orgasm was when the baby resisted and cried. Like that, they considered that an orgasm. It's really messed up stuff. But yeah, so we look, I hope you can look forward to that one. When it starts getting dark and depressing in the fall, we'll get into that one. Yeah. And then this other podcast called Subliminal Jihad, they've been doing a big expose on psychedelics and the whole MAPS thing. Are you familiar? You've brought that up before, right?
Yeah, but remind me, maps.
MAPS is like it's one of the organizations that's doing work to legalize psychedelics under the guise of like, oh, it helps people with trauma and PTSD and soldiers and all this stuff like that. But it's pretty nefarious. There's a there's so if you go to Subliminal Jihad, they have a whole series on it, but I think you have to be a Patreon subscriber to hear the full episodes. But if you go to, there's a like a real mainstream social justice-y podcast series called Cover Story. And if you can get through like the cringe social justice stuff, it's a real good expose of like the psychedelic as plant medicine man scene, and like all the people, all like the people getting like raped in there and stuff like that. So
That's cover stories.
called Cover Story, and it's the first season. I just started listening to that one today, but it's pretty eye-opening. And like, you know, I think that's like on my side of the aisle, like all these people are just fooled and like willing to think that psychedelics are the way and they lead you, it's a shortcut to God and spirituality and all this stuff like that. Yet at the same time, the government's promoting it now, you know? And it's like, for me, as soon as the government gets their hands on anything, I recoil like a hot flame. And, you know, I was that way for a long time. And, you know, I was sober and I was like, man, I really wish I could do psychedelics. I did a mushroom trip in sobriety and it was nothing profound at all. It just told me that aliens are super fake and gay. Like, that's what I came out knowing after a mushroom trip. I came out knowing that. And I guess a good thing, it just made me realize there was nothing that I didn't need to do that to like discover anything about myself. I just, like, I didn't even need to do that. I'm glad I got it out of my system. And then, you know, a little bit later, then I started looking into the spirituality that I got into now. So, but, yeah, I think, there's a whole history of the deep state being involved in pushing psychedelics and young people doing drugs and all this stuff like that. It's nothing new. I mean, Timothy Leary was a well-known CIA asset. And like Dennis McKenna, like his main, like people talk about, like people that I look up to in the alternative media talk about that guy all the time. But then there's video, you can go find video of him on YouTube right now where he says he smokes DMT and the machine elves tell him that we need to start a one world socialist government so that the aliens don't come and kill us. Like that's his message, you know? And that's not congruent with what these podcasters that I enjoy listening to who quote Dennis McKenna, like talk about, or Terrence McKenna, not Dennis McKenna, that's his brother who supported Joe Biden ardently in the last election. But so that's where I'm on that. And it's just it's good to figure this stuff out. And they talk about like Burning Man, and they talk the original Burning Man was like
San Francisco,
was at Baker Beach, which is a gay nude beach now, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. It didn't used to be.
I think there's a portion of it is. Okay. But Baker Beach.
Well, there's always been a nude portion. I didn't know if it would. I didn't ever know that it was considered gay.
Well, you know, it's in San Francisco, so I think it safely can be considered that. But that like overlooks the Presidio, right?
Well, it overlooks the Golden Gate Bridge. It's on the opposite side of the bridge from the Presidio, San Francisco side. Yeah.
Who was at the Presidio in the mid 80s that was in charge of
McMartins?
Not McMartin, but Michael Aquino.
Right. Yeah.
Who, you know, had a McMartin style tunnel system and child sex trafficking ring out of the Presidio in the 80s. So very interesting. The Army's PSYOPs chief of staff. But so I've been getting into that. And, I listened to Transmission from Jonestown, which is a really good podcast series. Like, it's like a 20-part podcast series about Jonestown. And it's really cool the way they do it. They're short episodes, like 45 minutes each. Yeah,
you told me about that. I started listening to them.
You got to kind of get in the rhythm of it. They have like a couple different voices that talk. And you know, when one voice is talking, it's fact, like proven fact. And then when they explain this, when they do another voice and they start playing like a kind of music with the talking, they're like, that this is speculation.
Okay.
But it's really good. And that's a good one. And then Martyr Made, which is, you know, for my money, the best history podcast on the internet right now.
Martyr Made.
You listened to the one about the Bolsheviks, that horrific one about the Bolsheviks.
Oh, God, that was a nightmare.
So he did a 5 or 6 part series on Jonestown. And he starts it in, you know, post slavery America pretty much, and goes through the whole civil rights movement, the student activist movement, their reliance on Black people to do the dirty work for them. So they got involved with the Black Panthers and all that stuff. And he just kind of outlines like how people at that time, how something like Jonestown or something like the People's Temple before they went to Jonestown would have been appealing to like a poor Black church lady or like a young atheist Marxist from Berkeley, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good.
Okay.
One of the episodes is like 6 hours long.
Whew.
Yeah. So those long form history podcasts are good for me when I'm just like out building a fence, you know, all day. So I really enjoyed that one.
Well, and I've got a nice list here.
Yeah. But I know you're up against the clock. I guess mm-hmm. We don't have to get into them, but we can talk about some of the big news stories from the summer. So, of course, there's Ukraine still shipping a ton of money over there, but it's kind of not really in the main thing in the spotlight right now, right? It's kind of just one of those things like, I mean, we were at war in Iraq for, 20-something years, and, you know, you weren't even thinking about it after a while. And as long as, like, we don't have hot war with our troops in Ukraine, which I think is debatable right now. I wonder if it's going to be something that it'll just kind of go on the back burner as far as coverage from the media, and we'll just keep sending them our tax dollars and funding them. Who knows? Have you been able to keep track of any of this stuff that's going on in Africa?
Oh, the
there's a bunch of coups and stuff going on, right?
Tigray.
Okay.
In Ethiopia, the Tigray region.
Okay.
Where they're having a huge war over there.
Yeah. Are they like coups and military coups? And, you know, whenever there's a coup, it's backed by somebody.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of stuff going on with Niger.
Niger. Okay.
And I guess the only positive that we can draw out of that is like the more times Joe Biden has to say Niger, the better chance we have of, you know, him saying what he really wants to say. It'll happen. I think they're going to keep him from talking about it as much as possible because he will say it wrong.
Joe. Thoughts about Joe?
Well, we have we can get a UFO disclosure, which was a huge nothing burger. Didn't learn anything from
nothing.
It.
Nothing. Yeah.
This guy David Grush is just the newest version of controlled opposition who's not telling us anything. Everything that he talked about was hearsay too. It wasn't like he went to the airfield and saw flying saucers or green men.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like he heard stuff from other people. And of course, that came out when, you know, all this Biden corruption stuff really started coming to the forefront. We got UFO disclosure. So
nice little distraction.
Yeah.
So I made a list, couple of lists of the top news items for the year.
For the year?
Time magazines for 2023. Time.
Okay.
So far. Time magazine says the top 10, but I looked high and low and could only count 9. Regardless, COVID is one. The Cold War in, you know, China versus everybody in the West, Russia and Ukraine, Iran, who, you know, still happening.
Iran's 2 weeks away from you know, having a nuclear weapon. They've been 2 weeks away from having a nuclear weapon since the year 2000. So,
yeah. The recession, Latin America's political tide shifts.
So Time Magazine is acknowledging that there's a recession going on.
Yeah.
Global. But remember, there was all that stuff where they were like changing the definition of recession Because what was the definition of recession? 2 quarters in a row of net loss or something like that, and they were fudging the numbers so that they didn't have to, so it wasn't technically called a
Oh,
recession.
yeah,
And we're getting
because
all this,
you don't
I
want to.
mean, Karine Jean-Pierre Claude Va Jean-Claude Van Damme is going on in front of the press corps every day saying that we're in like the strongest economy of the
Oh,
past
God.
30 years. And yeah, it was interesting because my dad's as blue-pilled as it gets, you know. He's a conservative guy. I don't know, I think he might have flipped, but he said something about, you know, how there's like 7% inflation. I was like, Dad, it's not 7% inflation. Maybe it is on the books. Maybe that's how they cook the books. But if you go to the, it's upsetting when talking to him because he has no connection ever to like anything that's like working class America because he was never really a part of it. And I was, you know, that's what I was. I mean, inflation is, and he, but the day before he was like, well, eggs are $12 a dozen where I live. And I was like, well, that's 30%, or that's, I mean, that's 300%. Inflation right there. But I was like, inflation's 30%. Like, inflation means how much for a normal person, inflation means how much does gas cost? How much does groceries cost? How much does a Ford F-150 cost? $100,000? That seems very expensive to me, you know, when you can get one for 25 grand a couple years ago. So,
Jesus. Is that how much they go for these days?
dude,
A new
Ford
one?
is having some problems. Yeah. Make a new Ford
Ugh.
F-150, which is just their regular V8 gas truck, is like 100 grand.
God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
World Bank estimates 60% of developing nations have unsustainable debts.
Okay.
60%.
60% of what nations? Developing
Of
nations?
developing nations.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean that's the oldest playbook, oldest, you know, game in the book, if that's a term. I can't think of what I'm trying to say, but I mean you read part of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and that's what they do. They go there, they build stuff, they lend all these countries that can't pay it
Yeah.
back money, and then when they can't pay it back, they say, "Oh, well, give us your lithium." You know? So,
Yeah.
did you get into
Pretty sad.
I'm sure this was not in Time's top 10 list, but are you keeping up with Obama's sexual orientation and Tucker Carlson's recent interview with his ex-lover Larry Sinclair?
No, this is no.
Yeah, well, all these letters came
What is
out.
going on?
Obama's ex-girlfriend from before he was married to Big Mike sent a bunch of came out with a bunch of letters that he had sent her from like back in his college days, where he talked about how he fantasizes about men every day, sexually, all this stuff like that. And then there's been this guy, Larry Sinclair, who's been around since the 2000s, since the first time he ran for president, who says that in, I think, 1998, when he was still a state senator, he didn't know who he was, but he said he Obama smoked crack, he snorted cocaine, and Obama was smoking crack while he was pleasuring him with oral copulation in the back of a limo in Chicago. And this
Whoa.
guy, I mean, he and so Tucker, I love Tucker Carlson. I don't care what any of my listeners say. Tucker Carlson's fantastic. He's doing his show on Twitter now. It's pretty cool. Like the Twitter has shows on it now. And he interviewed Trump on Twitter a couple weeks ago. I didn't watch that one, but last night I couldn't sleep, and the interview with Larry Sinclair came out. So he had a 40-minute interview with this guy who had a sexual 2-day cocaine binge sexual tryst with Barack Obama in 1998.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's on X, formerly known as Twitter.
X, yeah.
And so if that, I mean, it all seems to be true. He gets into like that the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who was like this big black preacher in Chicago, was like supposedly Obama's spiritual advisor. the director of his choir was a gay dude, and Larry Sinclair was in contact with that guy. That guy was like calling Larry Sinclair, trying to get the story covered up. And he wound up dead in a hotel room with two bullet holes in him. So, if you could get to the point where you believed that Obama was truly a gay man, does that influence your thoughts on Michelle Obama's gender at all?
No.
No. So you think she's a male the whole way?
No, I think she's female.
Okay, got it. Just wanted to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then another big story is Burning Man. That's pretty wild, huh?
Wild is, yeah.
Is everybody still there? Are they still stuck?
No, they're all out of there now, and they're doing the cleanup.
Oh,
but so I don't remember so, where I
reminiscent heard. of Woodstock, you know, and it turned into a mess.
Yeah, but they at least could get out of there. I heard this somewhere or read it somewhere. I don't remember what the source was, that a lot of the burners were really upset because a lot of the celebs and people with, you know, lots of dollars to spend came in their luxurious campers, you know, high-end campers, and brought their chefs with them, and that they were ruining Burning Man.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the trope for years. I mean, that's getting into all this. If you listen to Subliminal Jihad's Maps episode, they talk about like all these Silicon Valley tech people who are like microdosing, and really like Peter Thiel is like a huge proponent of it. Elon Musk talks about being on LSD and ketamine all the time and stuff like that. So, seems like it's bipartisan. Matt Gaetz and AOC sponsored a bill together to like legalize psychedelics somehow. Pretty wild, huh?
That is wild.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing, you know, like that's kind of like CNN and Fox News, you know, when it's on both networks and they're both pushing the same thing, run like the wind in the opposite direction. Yeah. Okay, so do you have, I know you got to get out of here in 2 minutes. Do you have time? We are going to do a new segment, a lightning round. I am going to give you words and you are going to say the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay?
You know my brain is empty.
I know. I know your brain is reverted back to the jelly-like state that it was in early August of 2020. We've probably taken a lot of steps back, but we'll see how it goes.
All right.
Barack Obama.
Bit frightened.
Barack Obama.
Okay. That, I mean, how could that not be my response after?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Pedophile.
Moon landing.
Fake.
New variant.
A drag.
RFK Jr.
Questionable.
Minor attracted persons.
Minor attracted persons?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
That's the politically correct version of pedophile that they're trying to get add to the list.
Stupid. That's a stupid name.
Yeah. Israel.
Scary.
Yeah. Great. You passed the test, Deborah. Great job.
Oh my God. Haven't fallen too far off the wagon.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a fun talk. We got to get you out of here. Thank you for joining me this week. And we're going to try to be back on Tuesdays, guys, but we'll see how well it goes. We've got a big time guest. One of our good buddies, BRV with the TDS is coming on next week. And we're going to talk some parapolitics with him. We got some other good guys coming up. You guys want to hear anybody in particular, any topics in particular, parapolitics influenced mostly, let us know. Get at us in the Telegram. We'll get that back going again. Email us, hit me up on Twitter or Instagram, value for value, recommend us to everybody. Don't give us any money yet unless you feel very compelled to, but just recommend us to everybody and let everybody know that we are back in a big way, baby. All right, Deborah, I love you very much.
I love you too, Adam.
I will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Yes, you will.
Thanks, bye. Guys. Love you all. Bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots, playing God all day, deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, oh, she burns in hell. Every damn one of you is a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.